Get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, "Hey, bonga fish and gari." Glory to God! I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
Say, "I'll never be poor."
Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
Commanding supernatural shifts. And we say you can also call it laws of shift. And I said to command supernatural shifts in any area of your life, you must first of all prevail with God. You prevail with God how? In the place of prayer. The place of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meeting. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you prevail first in the place of prayer. Until you have prevailed with God, you cannot prevail with men. When you separate time to spend time alone with God, the Word will seek you for help. You must learn to prevail with God first. There are situations in your life that will never change until you have prevailed with God in the place of prayer. That's the fact. Hear me. I always tell you, nothing happens by chance. And there's no such thing as whatever will be. You are the one to make it be. In this kingdom, the reason for the authority that God has bestowed upon you, the reason why he has put you in that high place of authority, is so that you can take responsibility for your life. Under the Old Testament, God took responsibility for their lives. And that's because that was a different dispensation. In that dispensation, they were not sons of God. They were no children of God. Of course, the nation of Israel were called children of God based on relationship, because God dealt with them as a father, as their father. But then, biologically, I should say, by nature, they were not children of God. That's one. Secondly, which of course means that they did not carry the Holy Spirit on the inside. Thirdly, they did not have the authority of Christ to work with. So everything God did for them, it was God who did almost everything for them. God only gave them instructions to keep so that he would be able to do for them. So God would not expect them to fight their battles. In fact, according to the Bible, under the Old Testament, they didn't have the revelation of Satan. Satan was there all the time, but they didn't know there was any Satan. They didn't know of any devil. If they ever knew, it's vaguely. They didn't have the revelation of the devil. And that's why under the Old Testament, you won't see where they talked about Satan. Only a few places where Satan was mentioned. Like the book of Job, Chronicles. Why? Because no revelation of Satan. But under the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, which we are in, the dispensation of revelation, these things have been revealed to us from the Word of God. So we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, and that's the devil himself. Say hallelujah. Okay, so under the New Testament, you take responsibility for yourself, for your life. You are responsible. No matter how good you may be, no matter how faithful you may be in the house of God, if you don't do something about your life, nothing will be done. That is the fact. But the other day, you know, I did so and so, and then I became lucky. Hey. Don't let chances happen to you. Because another day will come, you do that thing and you may not become lucky. And I've told you before, there is no such thing as luck. It's a deception of the enemy. In this kingdom, there is no luck. You will never find luck in the Bible. You are either favored, blessed, or cursed. Lucky is that which the devil uses to deceive people. Lucky means, you know what luck means? It means that it works sometimes by chance. Who? So when it works by chance, at that time say, I'm lucky. Never you name your child lucky. In fact, if you have that name, change it. There's no such thing as lucky. There's no such thing as good luck. That's the fact. In the realm of God, it's called blessing. Now, somebody say, well, how important is that? even if my name is good luck, it doesn't stop me as long as I believe that in the realm of God is only favor. Listen, I told you last week, your name has a lot to do with your life. You remember we talked about the man Jacob? Despite Jacob was blessed of God in words, prophecies have been released concerning his life. He couldn't still walk in the blessings until God had to change his name first from Jacob. He had to encounter God in the place of prayer, prevailing prayer. And in that encounter, God changed his name. He told that angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord is actually the Holy Spirit, which is God. There are certain places you read in the scriptures, the angel of the Lord, angel of God, angel of the Lord. Now, many times they refer to the Holy Spirit himself. At other times, they refer to an ordinary angel. You say, how will you know the difference? Very simple. From the context, you know. For instance, when the Bible refers to an ordinary angel as the angel of the Lord, that angel, which is an ordinary angel, will never act like God and will never accept worship. Do you understand? Angels don't accept worship. Who studied the Bible? There are times that men made mistakes in the scriptures and they wanted to worship an angel because of the glory. I tell you, if you see an angel in his glory, except for knowledge, you almost want to pass out. So these men of the senses had wanted to worship angels. A few of them made the mistake and the angels, or that angel had corrected them, would have corrected them, or corrected them and say, hey, stop, don't do that. That's because no ordinary angel will accept worship. Okay, so but this particular one was the angel of the Lord, and that's the Holy Spirit, and that's God himself. And it was the one that had this, that Jacob had this encounter with. And the angel said, you want me to bless you? He said, yes. The angel said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Aha. Because of that name, he cannot bless Jacob. A Jacob cannot be blessed by God. Because the meaning of Jacob, I know that there are people that still, they still name their children or themselves Jacob today. They now use title to put S. Some of them say Jacobs. You know the meaning of Jacobs? Jacob means deceiver. So Jacobs will mean deceivers. Only you deceivers. Okay, so the meaning of Jacob is deceiver, swindler, fast guy, 419, and all the rest. So, and God cannot bless a 419. Mm-mm. So God said, your name will have to be changed. And so God said, you shall be called Israel. The meaning of Israel, prince with God. Is that not better? And so when, can you imagine, he had a whole, this is an encounter, this is something important to his life, and all that he got in that encounter, all he got is that for his name to be changed, because the blessings are already there. They've been made available. The only challenge is the name. So that's why you have to be careful about your name, by the way. So despite prophecies came ahead of time concerning Jacob, words of prophecy came, blessings transferred from his forefather and his father to him. He could not enter in until he had to prevail with God in the place of prayer. So there are many things, maybe even when you were a baby, these prophecies were released over your life and so on and so forth. But there are times that those things, you notice that though these prophecies have come, I'm not pleased with my life. That's the time for you to be alone with God and prevail in the place of prayer. You bow your knees and you are praying. Your heart is in it. You want a change now. So that's the first law of shift. If you want to move in any area of your life, you need to learn to prevail with God in prayer. Maybe concerning that thing. Now, basically, we primarily focus on finances. So if you want to prevail in the area of your finances, your business, okay, if you want to do better, you want to shift, you want to prevail, you have to prevail first in the place of prayer. Did you know that you can be as big as you want? Honestly, I'm serious. You can be as big as you want. You can choose that your name will travel all over the world on this, your products, and nothing will be able to stop you. Listen, it's one of the biggest secrets that I found from the Word of God for myself. So, when I come and I tell you the whole world is mine, my place is at the top. Now, that is based on the fact that I have a revelation and I'm doing the right thing to make that come to pass. I'm praying about it. I'm saying the word. There was a time in my life that I had the names of the continents of the world. I will list them and I'll be releasing words. My voice will be heard in Asia. It will be heard here. North America, South America, to be heard all over Africa. I am releasing words like this. I'm praying. I've not even started ministry at the time. So when I tell you I know where I'm going, just give me time. I'm working on something. So the same thing for your business. Some of you have special calling into business. You can blow it. I told you, your words, powerful. You can use your word to spread the thing. You can kill anything by words. And you can give life to anything by words. Glory to God. Anyway, so the first one is prevailing with God. And the second one, of course, is faith. Say faith. And we looked a bit on faith. And in this kingdom, in fact, everything, it's all about faith. When we talk about the supernatural life, we're talking about life of faith. That's why when you come here, you come to this place regularly and you listen to me, faith will be built in your heart, because to live the supernatural life is faith. So I'm teaching you about the supernatural life, but yet I'm imparting faith into your spirit. You see? So faith is coming up. Faith cometh by hearing. So you have faith for the supernatural. You have faith to do anything. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth? What a question. Faith. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's begin to look at some of these things. Faith. Hebrews 11, from the first verse, we read a few, maybe first two, three verses. Then we'll run to the 33rd. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's a difference between faith and hope. And last week, I also explained there's a difference between faith and believing. Hope is in the future. It's futuristic. Faith is now. That's why you can see the word there. Now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you hope for something and that thing has substance, that substance is faith. The evidence of things not seen. Another way to put it is the evidence of unseen realities. It is real, but you cannot see it. But it's real. The evidence of that is faith. Where will you get the evidence? Evidence means proof. Where is the proof? In your spirit. Others cannot see it, but in your own spirit is a proof. You just know that you know that you know it will work. You just know. Next verse now. For by it the elders, even the elders, so there is no such thing as I've now become an elder in the kingdom of God. I don't need faith anymore. No. The elders by it obtain the good reports. Now, what do you think happens when they obtain these good reports? It doesn't matter in whatever area of their life, maybe in their marriage, their finances, in their work with God, they obtain a good report. Not only are they themselves happy, God is happy. I mean, I think of how I feel at the end of every term when I have to go to the portal to check my children's results. And as a father, when they do well, I feel good. Just checking. What did they do? They obtained a good report. And you think about it. If I looked at the report and I feel like, wow. Think of God. Many people think that God loves it when we suffer. That's not a good report. You're not obtaining a good report. He cannot be happy. What kind of, he will be just be looking at, what kind of result is this? With all the life of Christ, what is this? He's not glad. Look at you. With all the word of God, I've made everything available. The Holy Ghost is on the inside. What kind of report is this one? Think about it. Then you bring this report home to your daddy, God, and say, see what I did. Oh no, he will feel bad. Because he has invested so much for you to give this kind of report. This kind of report. Let's be done. Go to, okay, next verse first. Through faith. Say through faith. Come on, say it out loud. Now listen, not through senses. Somebody have said that there are six senses. The sense of touch, smell, taste, feel, which other one? Sight and faith. That's the sixth one. Okay, trying to say that faith is another realm. Through faith, not through sight. Through faith, we understand. It is faith that makes you understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It takes some revelation. You mean all this whole thing that we see framed by the word of God? It says, yes. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's powerful. In your own life too, things which are seen can be made. Look at it. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You can make things not based on things which do appear. I would never fail in my life. Never, 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 never. Never. I will never fail. I will never taste failure. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Did you know how God created everything? The Bible says that God spoke into being everything in this world. And according to the Bible, when God was speaking it, they did not show up physically. If you were there standing when God was talking, you would not see anything. The Bible says they did not show up physically. But according to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God kept telling us, and it was so. It was done. It was so. Then when you move to the second chapter, you saw that they didn't show up physically immediately in the first chapter. Because the second chapter of the book of Genesis revealed that. That means God is a faith God. As far as he was concerned, when he was speaking, it was happening in the realm of the spirit. And as children of God, that's how he wants us to think. When you're talking, things in the physical realm will deceive you. They'll lie to you. They'll tell you it's not working. It's not happening. The devil will steer human beings At that moment, they will be coming around you to let you see the reasons why it's not working. Some of them would say words that would distract you. Think about it. But if you're going to function like Papa God, why we look not at the things which are seen? You are not going to be concerned about what you're seeing. Your focus is in another realm. Don't you understand? Think about it. For a student in that class, the man came and pronounced and said, in this course I have failed all of you. And then somebody comes and we've all failed, and you amongst others says minus me. And the guy cannot understand why. Is the man your daddy? No. Is he your brother? No. Did you bribe him? No. So why will you say that? He said, because I'm a king. Then he says, where is your crown? He said, blind people cannot see my crown. Why? It takes faith to see. If it's somebody who dwells in the same realm with you, who is also a Zionite, when you spoke like that, you get it. Say hallelujah. You know, he will say, that's my brother. Glory to God. Go to the 33rd verse. Hurry. Good. Hey, I feel like flying from here. 32nd verse. I wanted to see something. Listen, hey, you know why I'm working more on myself? Because in this kingdom, anything is possible. To waste your time is to call on God to do something. He will not do it. Listen, there are people who were here before you. They shouted and nothing still happened. How will you really be? Will you understand that God is actually not doing anything? Believe me. Now listen, don't let our religious communication deceive you. You know, sometimes we come like this and say, God is going to bless someone here. God is about to change your story. Those things are good, but they are general. We say such things when we are in meetings with general people. You understand why? Because we understand there are some other guys there that have not grown in faith, so we have to come down to their level to communicate the language that they will understand and appreciate. If you say God is going to change your life, that guy, he's been trained to think that God will do something for him, because he's already begging over that, please do something, change this, my story, change my, you see. So is this give me guy, because my name is Jimmy, give me. So the guy is always give me, so he's focusing on God. So because of such a fellow, we come down to his level, that guy's level, and say God will do something special. Amen. Hey, he's not doing anything. The Bible reveals that God is seated in heaven. And the earth that you are in is his footstool. Now, if you have something under your leg, under your foot down there, are you actually doing anything? Then Jesus, who could have been our hope, I say at least Jesus is doing something, walking around in heaven and doing something. So when I call upon him, he say, that's Victor's voice. Eh? And he's trying to fix something. He too is seated. That's what the Bible says. God seated long time ago before Jesus. And Jesus went to heaven. He didn't think he should do anything for us. He too went to sit down. Why? The Bible says that where Jesus is seated is a place of authority. He is there sitting physically. We are there sitting with him spiritually. Do you understand? Now, can you come and help me with this? Now, we are seated with him spiritually. Thank you. Thank you. Which means that our own sitting is based on authority. We are there and we are here. In authority, our rank is based on where he is. So when we are going to function, we're going to function based on our authority there. Don't you understand? The ambassador of USA to Nigeria is in Nigeria as we speak. But the guy's economy and everything about him is not run from here. He's run from USA. Though he is here with you guys. So people are shouting, oh, scarcity. No, the guy doesn't know it. He has another economy. It's the USA economy. So he doesn't care. If you like, listen, if they are going to kill, if they are killing all Nigerians, there's a way they will rescue the guy out. His people will show up with jet and say, come on, come in. Get out of this place. Oh, I'm a citizen of heaven. Glory. I'm not of this world. Don't you understand? That's exactly what God said. Jesus said, we are not of this world. Though we are in this world, we are not. We are his ambassadors. That's what the Bible says. Ambassador of Jesus to the world. That's who I am. His representative to the world. So, who am I? I'm a citizen of Zion. So we are not the same if you are not born again. No, we are not the same. I belong in another kingdom. Now, some of the most troubling and powerful things happen with men that were not born again. This is called Album of Faith. And I want you to see this display of faith from human beings that were not born again. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Let's look at this. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Did you ever read of Gideon? Of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Next verse. Who is talking about them? Who through faith, how did they do it? Through faith, subdued kingdoms. I mean, these guys have become principalities. They subdued kingdoms. Either spiritual kingdoms or physical one. The kingdom of fashion, if you are into fashion, if that's yours. The kingdom of entertainment. The kingdom of whatever you do. If that's what you do. Maybe you sell cars. The kingdom, that kingdom of automobile. You subdue it until your name is on the top. Above all. You have subdued it. Is it a spiritual kingdom? They said, all of us in the house, there's something there. But when we get to be age 30, something will now start happening. No. You are different. You subdue it. How? Through faith, subdued kingdoms. Now, hear me. There's no kingdom without a king. Which means that they subdued the king in the kingdom. Do you get it? Let's read on. Wrought righteousness. What does that mean? That means they brought in God's ways of doing things. His ways of doing things. They bring it into their word. That's the reason why they could walk to the sick and heal the sick. And say, no, sickness is not supposed to be here. God's way of doing things is that health. Do you understand? Or even in your own body, you can rot righteousness in your being. And say, I reject sickness. I refuse to be a candidate of malaria and typhoid. I refuse. You know what you're doing? You are rotting righteousness in your being, in your home. In the name of Jesus, we refuse to run helter-skelter. No. We don't run around begging for money, begging for help. Never in the name of Jesus. You rot righteousness. Righteousness, talking about God's ways of doing things. Next verse. Obtained promises. By faith, you could do things that will make you obtain promises. You know, there are some things that you can do for me and I just promise you something. Say, wow! Wow! For this, I'll do this. By faith, Solomon, when he offered those sacrifices, he obtained promises. God said to him, pray in the Holy Ghost everywhere. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost now. Pray it hard and strong. In Jesus' name we are praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. By faith, obtained promises. So there are those who obtained promises because of their faith. They were able to obtain promises from God, like Abraham. That's how he became the father of nations, by faith. Then he says, stop the mouths of lions. You remember there is a guy who did this? Now, either it's physical lions or spiritual lions, you can stop their mouths. Listen, don't, hear me. Don't be afraid of the devil. You must settle it in your mind. You consciously tell yourself, I would never be afraid of the devil. You know why? Because he is defeated already. Before his defeat, you could have been afraid. Now, if those under the Old Testament knew about Satan, no wonder they didn't know. They would have been afraid of the devil. But they didn't know, so they didn't have enough sense to be afraid of him. And many times he will come in among them and destroy them and do things. And all the time he's doing that. That's why when you read some things in the Old Testament, they always say that God destroys, God keeps, God kills, God makes alive. Because they don't understand, they didn't have the revelation. So they will tell you that it's God that is doing everything under the Old Testament. So why is God doing this to them now? He will kill them, he will make some alive, he will do this to them. But the devil was working, so they didn't know. But then light came under the New Testament. Now, when light shines, darkness is defeated. So light came, and then we know the culprit. That's the devil. And then we also got to know that he was defeated. Jesus defeated Satan in my name. He went there in my name and said, I'm doing it for my son, Victor Peters. Yeah! Glory to God. And so his victory is my victory. So am I supposed to be afraid of him? No! It's like some of you are afraid, you're afraid of rats. And you know that rat is afraid of you. Have you ever seen something like that? You're trying to keep, the rat is trying to escape for his life, but you too, you are trying to escape. You see, that's how it is with the devil. He is defeated. Never. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. But by faith, this one shuts the mouths of lions. Listen, the story under the Old Testament are not just there for us to read and be happy. They say a lot. The Old Testament is the shadow of the new. When Daniel was in the dens of lions, God was trying to teach the new creation something. The new creation that will come on the scene. God was trying to teach you something. I mean, it doesn't matter who is taking you and throwing you in the midst of them. Demons, he said, the house you are coming to live now. They say it's surrounded by demons. It does not matter. They are lions. You can shut their mouth. Do you understand? Because that was what happened. They took Daniel and the king. These wicked people had made the king do it. And the wicked people, those that were throwing him in, they say, are you sure you still want to do this? The guy said, I don't care. Now, what kind of boldness? How could he be so bold? They are telling him, it's not one lion that is there. There are not two that are there. I mean, the lions that are in this place, hungry lions. These are really hungry. And the Bible shows so that they were really hungry. And they told him, they opened the mouth of that place and then said, can you hear? And those lions were roaring. Wanted food. But this guy did not say, wait! Are there real lions there? Okay, I changed my mind. Oh, the Bible says, listen to this. Interesting. The Bible shows that before Daniel got there, there was already an angel of God. This is an ordinary angel. He was already there waiting for him. When Daniel landed, the angel received him. Say, welcome, sir. Daniel was surprised. The lions were supposed to catch him and tear him. And Daniel was looking, what's the matter? All the lions were just watching. What's going on here? The angel said, no, these ones, they can't do anything. No, nothing, sir. As they are right now, they're like dogs without tooth. Daniel said, all right then. Please, I want to have some sleep. Said, yes, sir. Hey, lions, arrange yourself. Master wants to have some sleep. And the lions must have, you know how their body could be. Arrange themselves. And Daniel landed. He slept well. The king that threw him in could not sleep. He was sleeping. King could not sleep. He said, what has happened to Daniel? What has happened to him? He was disturbed. Early in the morning, he ran there and said, Daniel, as your God that you served day and night, being able to deliver you. Glory to God. The God that is served day and night. That's the God that I serve day and night. Do you understand? He said, has this God been able to deliver you? You think about it. If Daniel had kept quiet, let's assume that he had died, the name of God would have been dragged in the mud. I thought they said that God is powerful. Look at him now. Can you see now? You see? Church. That's why I tell you. If a Christian who is involved in what we are doing should die like chicken or something goes wrong with him, that means he has not been well taught. Because in this kingdom, when you are with God, you are protected. Do you understand? You are not permitted to be taken by evil. If that guy under the Old Testament knew this, what about you with the Holy Ghost on the inside? And while that king was waiting, he said, Daniel! And Daniel cried back. I said, oh king, live forever. He says, my God. Hey, say hallelujah! That was under the Old Testament. Brothers and sisters, under the New Testament, Riga hand the sopra in the socket. If what they had under the Old Testament was a shadow of the real thing, you think about it. When the new creation lands in the den of lion, both lion and you should be dancing in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you're going to come in with Christ on the inside. Say, I'll never be defeated. Never. By faith, stop the mouths of lions. You can. You sure can in your life. I don't just know. Something has just been troubling my finances. You know, money will come, it will go. Money will come. What? Are you a tither? Yes, I'm a tither. Don't allow it. Next verse. By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. They quenched. Okay. He's talking about the fire is burning. The Bible says when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. That's good one. But it's talking about you quenching the violence. The fire is burning, but it's not hurting you. The violence of it has been quenched. Have you been in situations that everything is like fire, but in the midst of it, you are at rest? He's only making noise, he can't do anything. Do you understand? You come out of that situation stronger, better. You are, listen, it's only when you don't know who you are, you'll be answering some people when they are saying some nasty things. Maybe they are saying some things against you, they are threatening you, they want to come against your life, and then you are now oh, like, and then you are now fidgeting, you are afraid. Brothers and sisters, no, listen, there's a way a prince is trained. That guy is not proud, it's just that he's been raised. Do you understand? He's been raised in a certain way. Did you hear the story of that prince? They were trying to, the father was a wicked king, and so they caught the son, kidnapped the son, and then now they said, we want to deal with the father, but since we can't get to the father, what we'll do is we'll deal with the son that he loves so much. We'll deal with this son, and so it will pain the father for his wickedness. And so they said, how do we catch him? Oh, we know what to do. We'll try to make the son curse so that he can die. So they started threatening the boy. Say curse words. Say terrible things. Curse with your mouth. Swear with your mouth. They were beating this boy, this prince. He wouldn't say it. They said, they were telling him what to say. Ugly things. He said, he wouldn't say it. Then finally he said, wait. I was born to be a king. I'm a prince. I can't talk like that. That young boy understood that he is a prince. Kings don't beg. That's why you must position yourself in life so that you won't find yourself in situations where you have to beg. Now listen, if you find yourself in situations where you have to beg, it means that you've not worked on yourself. So please beg and go. Because you've not worked on yourself. But after you leave that place, say, oh God, I work on myself. Get to a situation where you don't have, when there is nothing to beg about, do you have to? Get to a situation where you've raised yourself, trained yourself, you don't have to beg. Especially if you're dealing with unbelievers. Think about you begging with the Holy Spirit on the inside. Some of them will even talk nasty at us. I thought you said you are going to church, you are serving God. Where is your God? What an insult. You are the one, you brought that insult to God. That's why you need to be working on yourself. Working on yourself. And the problem is, I just came in and they know that lecturer now said, get out. Why did you come late? If you knew you were going to come late, why didn't you settle the matter before you came? Let's assume that things happened, and then bow your knees and say, Father, you are the God of favor. I obtain favor. When you walk into that place and you greet that man walking, he will overlook you. You will see them. That's favor. But when you are not trained to that level, you come in, everything you beg, your life is just full of begging. Please, I will pay the house rent, I will pay it later. You are begging for that one. Please, just let me stay in the line. So that you even came late for the queue. Please. I don't just know how to wait. That's why. So if you know, you don't know what, you should have come early. You came late now. You don't want to stay behind. Now, auntie, please. The others are now shouting, please now. You people should please. Must you beg? Oh, glory to God. This is my synesis. So when I'm talking like this, some people don't understand my synesis, my understanding. Do you understand? My revelation inside. I would never beg in my life. It's a terrible place to be. Listen, God doesn't want us begging. God doesn't want us begging. God does not want us proud. These are two different things. He's trying to work on us so that we get to a position of advantage where we don't have to beg. We will lead. If you have the money, you won't have any reason to beg. Don't you understand? You have the money, the money is available. You just pay. What do you have to beg? So he's trying to raise you to that position. So if you are still at the level of begging, please begin to work on yourself. Why? Because of the name of Christ on you. It's important. It's important. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the hedge of the sword. Okay, I want to rush, so I don't want to explain all of this. Escape the hedge of the sword. They took off when they had to take off, okay? So it's faith to run when you have to run. Say hallelujah. It's faith, oh. Listen, that's fact. That's the fact. There are times that God will inform your head. Say, danger, danger, run. Don't say, oh no, I'm a child of God. He knows that you have not been built yet to handle what you will meet. So he will tell you, he comes down to your level and says, son, take off. Why? Because what you will meet may shake your faith. You may think it's no more than that. I'm seeing it. It's no more than that. And then you go. And then when you get there, you see other things. Ah, and you're like Peter. You begin to drown. Because you are seeing the waves and the boisterous winds now. It's beginning to shake your faith. Ha, ha, ha. And then you may just end your life. So God will tell you ahead of, he will inform you, hey, you just be disturbed. Son, take off, run. If I were you, I'll dust my shoes. Pam, pam, pam. That's the spirit of God. But listen, if you're walking with God and situations like that are coming up and God is not saying anything, he's not saying take off, he's not saying run, but rather inside you, you feel peaceful. Walk on. That means God is about to show off with you. That's what it means. As you walk on, when you get there, the kind of display that will happen through you will surprise you. Because the Holy Spirit will take over. Will take over. And you will manifest the gift of faith in such a way that even you'll be surprised after that time out. You see why you need to have a strong walk with God? So that you'll be able to hear him. A man of God was going to travel. A popular man of God, a great man of God, was going to travel. This is not his first time of using the plane. But this time around, he was going to travel using the plane. And while he was preparing to travel, he was disturbed in his spirit, in his room. Then he went to check the weather, to see the weather of that place, that country. The weather is okay. So what's going on? He's disturbed. Smart man, he started praying in the Holy Ghost. He wanted to scan what is going on. What is it that I need to see? While he was praying and praying and praying and praying, then he saw himself about to enter the plane. He touched the plane and then the anointing went all over the plane. Signal, get ready, but you can move. And then he went and something happened in the plane. While they were there, the plane will want to go up and come down, want to go down in the air. Ah! Everybody started shouting. But he said, while he was seated there, he was excited in the spirit. He said, come on, go through in the name of Jesus. Go through, go through. He was telling the plane, go through, go through. And he did. The plane did. Where did he get that confidence from? Number one is walk with God. God already told him, relax. Number two, from the word of God. He didn't get there and say, Jesus, have you forgotten all I've done for you? Jesus! No, 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 no. He said, go through, go through. And he was praying with tongues. Go through in the name of Jesus. Now listen, that's a man of faith. That's how we act in our kingdom. Where did we get it from? From Jesus. Because Jesus was in such a trouble before, and Jesus stood up and said, hush. And went back to sleep. So if you are going to do it, are you going to do it lesser than him? Are you still here? Glory to God. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to fly the armies of the aliens. I think I have to stop there. I want to move to the next point because I want to finish it now. Okay, if I take my time, maybe one day we'll have a series on faith. I will look at this one after the other. But don't forget this. Wax valiant in fight. Never forget that. If you find yourself in any kind of fight, spiritual fight, whatever kind of fight, make sure you wax valiant. Make sure that you're not weak. If you're weak, you may be destroyed in the fight. Wax strong, wax valiant in fight. You make up your mind that you're going to win. Anyway, it's too late to want to back up anyway. So you just stay there and say, I'm going to win in this fight. Listen, one time Jesus Christ was pressured. He had so much pressure. Why? Because now they're going to kill him and separate him from God for a time. And he didn't want that to happen. So the Bible says he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying. He didn't say, his spirit was heavy, all right? He didn't say, oh, let me just go and sleep like some people do. No, he went to pray. The Bible says he prayed fervently. So when you are in the midst of trouble, pray fervently, more fervently. Listen, you will come out of it. Just keep praying fervently. There's something you know how to do. You know how to invoke the name of God, the name of Jesus. Use it and march out of that situation. Can I tell you this? Let me tell you. There is nothing faith cannot do, I'm telling you. Last week I was telling you, was it on Sunday? I was telling you about how we had this 8 months delay after marriage, my wife and I. When she got pregnant, finally, she had some blood coming out, and she had to be taken to the hospital on campus here. And they said, we lost the baby. I said, all right. After they finished talking, she was still there. I went to the mountain around. There's one big mountain. Okay. That would be the first day. Do you know, all the time I was on campus, I'd never been there as a student. But that one, I went. I asked somebody, how do we get to this mountain? They showed me. I went there. I stood there. I said, Lord, I will not accept that one. And I stood. Listen, if you really want something, you want it. I don't get it if I don't really want it. I went there and said, no, I already have the name of the child. The name I will call him. So I called the name on that mountain. I prayed, first of all, I prayed with tongues, building yourself on your most holy faith. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. There was another fellow on the other side. The guy must have been wondering, why is this? What is the matter with this man? Don't worry. I prayed and prayed and prayed. Loud. Why? Let me tell you. When you pray like that, you drown doubts. Words came from the doctor about this kind of situation. He came from the other people, family members. He received call about this kind of situation. But now you want to drown them. All those words and all those doubts. Building yourself, your faith on your most holy, building yourself on your most holy faith. So I stood there and I'm praying. I prayed. When my faith had come up, I called the name of the boy. I said, in the name of Jesus, you come back and form back. I command you to form back in the womb. We don't lose in this kingdom. In a short period, listen, they discharged her. They said the baby had come down. They discharged her. I told my wife what I had done. No problem. In a short while, not much longer a period of time, she had to go back there. They said she's pregnant again. Me, I was just watching everything. And now, listen. When the baby was about to be delivered, the doctor came out before I turned it to her to talk to me and said, the scan has been wrong. That the scan they got had been wrong. That the baby is so and so weak. Now, calculating that with what happened, it was exactly the same time. I said, I knew it all the time. Glory to God! I knew it! It looked like it did not work, but I knew it worked. I knew it. If you really want something, don't let it go. If you really want it. Listen, the devil knows he cannot defeat me. Only what I want. If I say, well, I don't want, it's okay. I'm okay. But if I say I really want, if it will take me to skip meals, forget about food. I will bow my knees and I'll begin to pray. Say in the name of Jesus, Zaga, Liga Yaba, Rate Zizi, Lige Rande, Kuku Paka. Ha. You'll be hearing all the different kinds of tongues. It will be coming. I don't care, it's coming. KKK, Kokoko, Pakala. Devil, clear out, clear out. Instead of your day, say, it has happened. It has happened. Romans chapter number 4. Let me show you this. Are you saying that is it too late? Romans chapter number 4. Let's begin from the 11th verse. Next verse now. So that won't take so much time. Abraham. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who circumcision only, but also, or who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Faith of our father Abraham. He calls Abraham the father of faith and the father of all of us who have faith. Okay? So, what kind of faith is this? For God to be commending this kind of faith, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Next verse. For the promise that he should be the heir of the word. What does that mean? The word heir there means possessor. God created this world and one man possessed it. It's one man that had the documents of ownership to this whole world. This certificate of ownership by the name Abraham. How can that be? Why? Watch. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Because of his faith, God gave the whole world to Abraham. How? One day God said, hey, Abraham, look to the right, to the left, everywhere, in all directions. As far as your eyes can see, I've given to you. You will think Abraham will only look from where he's standing and look physically and say, that side, that side, that side. All right. If he had looked like that, that's what God would have given him. But the guy was smart. He closed his physical eyes and he envisioned the whole world. And when he did that, because God cannot break his word, God already said, as far as your eyes can see. But his eyes saw the whole world. And so God said, all right, I've given it to you. Can you see why you cannot limit yourself? I would never limit myself. If God is saying, open your eyes and look, you know what I see? I see the whole world. The whole world. This message will travel the whole world. My voice will be heard all over the world. Nothing can stop it. The only thing that can interrupt it is rapture. I'm not a local champion pastor. Now watch this. For the promise that he should be the heir of the word was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Next verse. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Next verse. I want to begin to show you some big stuff now. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Next. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be. Now begin to pay attention from this verse into the next verse. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Watch, watch. There's a lot there, but I don't want to digress. Next verse now. Watch. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. When God was saying it, the man had no child. But God said, I have made thee. Like those prophecies that have come concerning your life. You don't look like it right now. God is telling you, see, I'm going to put you in charge of some big things. You don't look it. In fact, you still begged for money yesterday. You still begged for transport to come to church. But God has said it. Look at this. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth. The word quickeneth there means makes alive. The dead. What does that mean? No, too late with God. Even if the person is dead, he can still come back to life. Even if the situation is dead, he can still come back to life. God who makes alive the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. If you don't understand Christianity, you will think we are trying to psych people. If you don't understand it, you will think we are trying to make people say things so that they will feel good. Christianity is called the great confession. Christianity. If there is no confession in Christianity, then it's a religion. For you to accept Jesus, you have to confess with your mouth. Confession is the Greek word homologia. It means to say the same thing in consent with God. To agree with God with your words. That's what it means. Not just believing, but you agree with your words. Words are powerful in this realm. So I want you to watch what is going on here. God called those things which be not as though they were. That is his style of operation. And as it's true, then he says, be ye imitators of God. That's what he says. Next verse now. Next verse. Who against hope? He's talking about Abraham. Against hope, believed in hope. The situation was hopeless, but the guy still believed. You know, the situation is that the man had become too old, the woman had become too old to carry any child, past menopause, or rather in a menopause now. No more menstruation. How is she ever going to have a baby? Hopeless situation. The womb must have shrink. The womb had become old, as she herself has become old. Abraham himself, how will he ever have intercourse with his wife anymore? At this age, close to 100. It was a hopeless situation. It had never been heard before in the whole world. In the history of this world, it had never been heard before. But because there is one God somewhere, the God said, you will have. You will become a father of many. That God said it. Abraham believed it. Listen, Abraham did not see this God. Abraham had never seen him, had never met him, only heard his voice, and Abraham believed. Abraham's families were not servants or worshippers of God. They were worshippers of idols. They were used to seeing what they worshipped from time to time. But now there is this invincible and invisible God that came and said, relax, you have a child. And Abraham believed. That's Christianity. We have not seen, but God said, and we believe. What did Jesus say when Thomas said, I will not believe until I've seen? Jesus said, Thomas, come. You want to see first? Come and see. He said, touch my hand. Touch my palms. Then he pulled the cloak and said, touch my side. Have you seen now? Thomas said, yes, yes. You know what? Thomas believed and started trembling and said, my God and my Lord. So he worshipped Jesus and said, you are God. You are Lord. That did not thrill Jesus. That did not make him glad. Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you have seen. But blessed are those who have not seen, but they believed. And that is me. Shout hallelujah. No, we've not seen him. We've not seen God. We've not seen Jesus. He has not walked up, but we believe him. When they say, are you a child of God? He say, I'm a child of God. Which God have you seen him? No. How? Faith. That's why there is no child of God that does not have faith. If you're born again, to be born again means faith is in your spirit. You were born of faith. And so that seed is in your spirit. All you need to do is grow it. And you know the good news? Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You see, you don't need the big one to do the big things. Start with the one you have. Start with the one you have. Look at this Abraham. Come on. Who against hope believed in hope? That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Words. Next verse. Just words. He just believed the words. And be not weak in faith. Say, I'm not weak in faith. Say. Confess it. I refuse to be weak in faith. In the name of Jesus. Because that's where there is a problem. Abraham, be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body. Now dead. See the secret. He considered not. That's the secret. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see the secret? He considered not. Listen. The problem you have is you are considering. The weakness is still there. But I'm a child of God. I have the life of God in me. But I'm still feeling feverish. No. Consider not. They are calling you left, right, and they are telling you things have gotten worse, things are bad, consider not. Don't consider. That's the secret. Listen, faith is not denying the facts. The fact is there. Abraham's body was dead. That's the fact. Nobody can deny it. Yes, yes, yes. It is true that you are feeling cold in your body. Yes, yes, yes. It is true that that mosquito passed the malaria. Is a fact. Is a fact. But listen, faith is not denying the facts. Faith is overriding the facts with the realities of God's kingdom. That's faith. You don't consider. Can you see? There's a difference between a man of faith and a man of the senses. When a man of faith is saying, I'm rich, the man of the senses says, show me the money. When the man of faith comes into his room, they can't understand why he's rejoicing. In this room, only Gary is there, but the guy is still rejoicing. He's setting his table, putting the Gary there. He said, now I set my table before my enemies. They can do nothing. Over Gary is a man of faith. A man of the senses will stand there and say, why are you rejoicing? You don't have money, you should be sad. No, for my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Glory to God. That's the man of faith. We don't function by our senses. You see, if you're a man of the senses, this is foolishness to you. The Bible says the things of the spirit, they are spiritually discerned. But to the ordinary man, it's foolishness. But that's how it works in this kingdom. Let's round this off. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You see, the Bible stated it. Sarah's womb was dead. That's the fact. But he did not consider. Next verse. Okay, good. He staggered not. You see, great faith does not stagger. It staggered not. At what? At the promise of God. God has spoken through the word of prophecy and said something concerning you, but you are staggering. No, glory to God. And what God says I am, I believe what he says about me. Glory to God. We were just 6, sometimes 8, in that room, and we'll be there praying, and prophecies were coming, sons and daughters that would be passionate, they are coming from everywhere. In that room, listen, we refused to stagger. It didn't look like it. Month 1, month 2, 3rd month, 4th month, 1 year, 1 year plus, we were there. We will have dinner party. These 8 of us will be rejoicing. To the ordinary man, why are you rejoicing over nothing? What is all this? You people are still in this place. Some people mocked us and said, that's your church. Are you people not growing? But we staggered not. I will preach and preach hard. I'll be shouting with my suit. And I'll be shouting. I'll be giving them, take it. After they took it and all of them are falling, nobody to lay hands again. You can't lay hands on yourself and say, take it. So what do you do? You stand and you're watching. Why? Anointing is much. Few people are in front of you. But we staggered not. That's faith. Staggered not at the promise of God. Did God promise you don't stagger? Things will make you stagger. Things will come up that will want to make you shake. Didn't God say to you, listen, didn't God show you in a vision that your parents will carry your baby? Didn't God show you? So why are you afraid that your daddy might die? Why are you afraid that your mommy might die? No, don't stagger at the promise of God. Never. You saw yourself graduating in the university. You've seen it. Then one course is threatening you, or courses, or lecturer, and you say, I don't know, maybe I might ever finish here. Don't stagger, don't consider. Oh, glory to God. So what was he doing? Look at his response. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That means all the time Abraham shuts himself in his room and says, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. Oh, stand to your feet, stand to your feet. Glory to God. Ah, no wonder I was the father of faith indeed. No wonder. No wonder. Oh, think about him. He'll look at Sarah again. No pregnancy. No baby. Nothing, nothing. But all by himself, he was shouting, glory! I'm a father of many nations. Glory! I'm a father of many nations. Think about it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.